Next on BYUSN Draft Stock Up. Reports from the NBA Combine have BYU's Yegor Demin on the rise. Which is the best fit for him? And how high could he realistically be drafted? NBA draft analyst Matt Babcock breaks down where Yegor has improved his stock the most at the Combine and where he thinks the star point guard will be drafted.
Are there multiple paths for BYU football to make the college football playoff in 2025, or do the Cougars have to win the Big 12 title? Ann Kolponich and Todd Miller of BYU Men's Golf join the show to recap winning NCAA regionals, and they'll discuss how they can carry momentum to the national championship.
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Happy Friday, May 16th. This is how we do it. I am Spencer Linton, alongside a man who can always appreciate a solid first pitch, Jason Shepherd.
That's right. You, like myself, I know Jerem has also been able to throw out the first pitch before. I'm sure that you guys all did way better than I did. Again, mine was more about accuracy than it was velocity.
Now, yeah. Like, you at least
I forgot
got
about
it over the plate, right?
Oh, I totally forgot about Jerem's. It's now all coming back to me. It is all coming back to me. Sorry, Jerem. I did not. That was did not mean for that to go that direction. But Tom Holmoe last night, we know Tom's an athlete. And he loves baseball. He grew up loving baseball. And last night, I got to throw the first pitch.
Look at that form. Well done, Tom. Once an athlete, always an athlete. Listen, there are few feelings like the nerves that you experience when you are throwing out a first pitch.
It's real. The nerves are real.
I've done it multiple times, and I have hated it every time. But I have not embarrassed myself, thankfully. But comes with a lot of warmth. You have to give yourself proper warm-up time.
Yes, 100%.
You have to have a good person to throw with to help get you in the right mindset.
I was clocked at 47 miles per hour. But it was a strike.
Hey, a guy throwing about 47 miles an hour last night for the A's struck out Shohei Ohtani.
So what I'm saying...
Granted, he did come with a fastball at 89 to finish it off.
Well, I mean, had I had a second throw, maybe.
Well done, Tom. Legend, Tom Holmoe. What an emotional week for him as he watches his longtime cohort, Brian Santiago, take over as the new athletic director. And he's rewarded by having to throw out the first pitch. Can we just take it easy on Tom a little bit?
Hey, it was a good luck charm, too. Things went very well for BYU baseball last night on a couple of different fronts.
That's a great point. On that note, rise and shout. Let's get to what's trending. BYU's Yegor Demin is about to make history.
I will be putting my name in the 2025 NBA draft.
Demin cleared for takeoff.
There's Yegor, if he can improve that three-point shot, plus the Yegor, the kind of guy he is, got someone who I'm investing in.
The Russian asset has been activated in Chicago at the NBA Draft Combine. BYU's Yegor Demin continues to rise. His stock is up after his Combine performances in Chicago. Yesterday, multiple reports, in fact, from the Windy City that Yegor is maybe getting as high as number 6 or 7. What? Listen to this from ESPN's Jonathan Givony. And I quote, "Big week for BYU guard Yegor Demin at the NBA Draft Combine. Came out bigger than expected at 6'9.5" in shoes and showed off his clean shooting stroke in drills, getting strong looks from NBA teams throughout the lottery." Then NBA draft analyst Matt Babcock, who will join us later on the show, says this, quote, "Word is circulating here in Chicago that BYU's Yegor Demin is on the rise. He measured well, and while I'm not usually a big fan of pro days, Demin looked great in his today. It feels like he might be peaking at the right time," end quote. Jason, how high do you think Yegor Demin could realistically fly up those NBA draft boards?
Well, the good news is that number is shifting, and it's shifting up, which is fantastic. Before I answer, let's look at some of the latest mock drafts.
So we've heard
from a couple of people on where they think.
Let's do it.
But here's the most up-to-date information on all of the mock drafts in terms of where Yegor could go. NBADraft.net has him going number 8 to the Brooklyn Nets. CBS Sports, number 10 to the Rockets. Okay. So far, first two in the lottery. ESPN, number 12 to the Bulls. Still in the lottery. Yahoo Sports and NBC both at 14
to the Spurs. So that's where right now, at least according to all the mocks, the lottery stops.
So five different publications have him going in the lottery.
In the lottery. As high as 8, as low as 14. Then USA Today, 15 to the Thunder, Tankathon, 16 to the Magic.
Tankathon.
Yeah, I'm upset with Tankathon. It gave me the Jazz getting the number one pick, and it didn't happen. Sports Illustrated, number 17 to the T-Wolves, and the Athletic, 18 to the Wizards. So I believe that right around that pick 7, 8, 9 is where you need to start really paying attention to Yegor Demon. I think that's kind of where that starts to come into play. Now, you mentioned that, you know, there are some people talking about being as high as 6.
The Washington Wizards have the 6th pick.
Yes.
And I have some people on the ground in Chicago that are very close to Yegor that have said the Wizards are very, very interested, and not just taking potential Yegor at number 18.
Right. Well, and I will add to that, Tony Jones, who writes for The Athletic, but is local, covered the Utah Jazz for a long, long time, but now they're doing a little bit more regional stuff, so he covers the Nuggets, he covers Philadelphia. He was on local sports radio yesterday, and I heard his interview on ESPN 700, and he said that he believes that Yegor's ceiling is 6. Like, that he thinks at 6, that could be the first spot that you could see Yegor going.
Okay.
So we're talking about a guy that a couple of weeks ago, most everybody had him pegged 18 to the Wizards, that 17, 18 range. Now we're talking about him as high as number 6. Mm. What he's done in Chicago has been phenomenal. And he is certainly one of the very quick risers in this draft.
He backed up what he told us he was going to do.
Yeah.
He said, I will show people that I am a good shooter. You will see my form improved. You will see the shots go down, and people will believe that I am a good shooter after the combine. Because, to his credit, he was already a lofty projection with people thinking he's a 27% three-point shooter. Jason, it got better, to say the least. He had, as of yesterday morning, 14 interviews in Chicago at the NBA Combine. The longest interviews were with Portland, Houston, Atlanta, Brooklyn, Miami, and San Antonio, all featuring contract terminology, which I'm being told means those teams clearly have the most interest. Now, some of the teams that you mentioned, okay? San Antonio, 14. Brooklyn is at 8. Houston at number 10. I don't think Yegor is going to fall out of the lottery at this point.
No,
Jason.
I think as of right now, now granted, there's 6 weeks left, so there's a lot of movement that can go for a lot of players. But I as of right now, I think Yegor has solidified himself as a lottery pick.
Brooklyn at 8 is gaining some momentum. They are very interested. I would love, love, love for Yegor to end up in a place like Oklahoma City. We'll get into that a little bit later in terms of best fit, but that's 15, and I just don't think it's going to happen. There are so many teams that have taken notice of what he did over the course of this week in Chicago, and it just feels like he's a lottery lock now.
Right.
He is. I'm doubling down on what I said yesterday based on everything I'm hearing. And that's not to say that Yegor is going to step in immediately and be like a year one contributor, Jason. There are some teams that are willing to develop him, but are going to, what some people might think, reach on him and take him probably higher than we were initially anticipating.
Okay, so we've been talking about spots in the draft. Let's talk about fits.
Okay.
What do you think is the best fit for Yegor?
If I could hand select a team, yes, it's Oklahoma City and then San Antonio at number 14. I just believe that San Antonio is the right fit to be able to develop Yegor. And they have a little bit of depth there at the positions that they want him to, I think, play 1, 2, 3. He's not going to be just a point guard in the NBA. I think his size and passing ability and his acumen to play off the ball at times, which he did at BYU. Like, I know he's a primary ball handler. Don't get me wrong. But he can play multiple positions, especially with that size. The point forward comes into play. San Antonio feels like a really, really good fit. If it's not San Antonio at 14, because again, I don't know how he's going to slip that far, but we're talking just fit. Like, I like that fit. Love him playing with the Thunder. I have the sneaking suspicion it's going to be number 8 to Brooklyn or number 10 to the Rockets. And if it's those two teams, I would take Houston first. I think Houston is a team, clearly, that is a playoff team. They showed it this year. Would he be the backup to Fred VanVleet? Would he be that guy that is expected to play in year one? Or is he a guy that Houston looks at and says, hey, just go ahead and get your feet wet in the NBA G League, toughen up, put on some muscle? Because there are multiple NBA GMs that feel like Yegor needs to spend a lot of time in the weight room.
Right.
So, which is the case for a lot of these guys. I mean, a lot of those guys are going to have to hit it hard in the weight room. But for me, San Antonio feels like a really nice fit, if not Houston. Do you see differently there?
Yeah, I actually do. Look, the situation, for me, it's less about a team. Now, I'm going to contradict myself in a second. But for me, it's less about a team and more about an overall situation that he's going to. And he doesn't have to go somewhere where they don't have a point guard at all. Because you can go and be a backup and learn a little bit.
Still, I want that.
Yes, still be able to perform as a point guard and off the ball. Mm-hmm. So I can understand the Houston side of it because you do have Fred VanVleet. You've also got other ball handlers that can do things. So he's not going to need to be day one your starting point guard. Why I don't like San Antonio. I love San Antonio from a philosophy standpoint in terms of their ability to develop players. They've got a system that has proven for decades that they can do that. The problem is, in all likelihood, unless they trade for Giannis, they're going to have taken Dylan Harper. They've also got on the roster De'Aaron Fox. Mm-hmm. You've got Stephon Castle. So I think there's too many guards there. I don't know if the opportunity is as good with them, despite all of what they could do from a development standpoint. So for me, I don't like San Antonio.
Okay. Interesting.
But the teams that really stand out, if we're talking about specific teams, Washington, I don't like how they develop, but he would immediately be able to get a ton of minutes right away. Whether that's good or bad remains to be seen. I also think a team like Portland would be, and I know they have Scoot, but Scoot didn't do anything in his year that says, okay, well, this position is locked down.
Do you like Yegor going to a place that is changing ownership? And I just...
Yeah, no, I understand that.
Full rebuild, and it's just they're in the tank.
Right, I understand that. But Washington, Portland, and look, I know this is going to sound like it's a Homer-type, you know, mention. He would fit with the Utah Jazz. We know the Utah Jazz know all about Yegor Dimon.
Would he be an immediate plug and play, though?
I think he would have an opportunity to play, but without having to be the guy all the time.
Do you want that, though? Do you want him to play in year one?
Yeah, I want him to play. Now, that doesn't mean I want him 40 minutes a night, but I want him to be able to get on the floor and have an opportunity to do that. Now, I don't expect the Jazz to take him at 5. I don't. But in terms of fit, I do think it is a fit. That is a position the Jazz need. That is a position where the Jazz are very high on height at mm-hmm. that position, at every position. Okay. So those are kind of some of the teams that I think would be fits for Yegor.
Josh,
I don't hate the Brooklyn pick. If Brooklyn's the one that takes him, I think that could be a good situation. You have Sean Marks,
yeah.
who's the general manager. Now, D'Angelo Russell is there, but that's not going to impede anything. It's a young team, but it's a young team that doesn't want to tank. It's a young team that okay. wants to be able to get better quick. So maybe an opportunity for him to play, but also be on a team that's trying to win right now.
Sure, sure. I don't hate Yegor landing in Brooklyn.
I don't hate that.
Okay. What I don't like is Portland or New Orleans or Washington, because I feel like he would be relied on too heavily in those situations early. And this is probably playing into the whole Zach Wilson to the New York Jets scenario, where it's like, I just don't want that type of pressure to be put on a young dude so soon. Not saying he couldn't rise to the occasion, but it is tough on a player's mentality if, like, you just are thrown into the mix and have your lunch money stolen for a straight year right. and you get bullied on the floor and people are saying, why did we drop this guy again? Why did we drop this guy? They've had no chance to fully acclimate to the NBA physicality, lifestyle, the way the game's called. So I like a situation where, yeah, Yegor can get pulled up, but he's playing in the G League and he's getting his reps that way, but does not have to be relied upon so heavily. Portland, Washington, and New Orleans kind of feel like if they're drafting that high, they're going to ask him to play a lot. I don't like that scenario for Yegor. I want him to have time. Be a backup quarterback, if you will. Speaking in basketball terms right now, of course, but be okay with being a backup and a G League player, putting on 10 more pounds of muscle, and then in year two, then you hit it hard, Jason, and you're great. Some of those other teams we've talked about feel like a team like Brooklyn or Houston would be a better fit for Yegor, or even the Jazz. I don't think the Jazz would rely super heavily on Yegor, but will they take him at number five? That would be considered a reach. And what are the optics of such because of the ties to BYU and Utah? It's all fascinating to me.
I know. I just love that we're having this conversation.
I know.
Because, look, what Yegor's done over the last couple of days in Chicago is, to your point that you said earlier, he's done exactly what he said he was going to go out and
backed it up.
He has backed it up 100%, and he's now reaping the rewards in terms of all of these opportunities to talk with these teams, some maybe that wouldn't have taken a look at him, but because didn't we see within the last, 6 or 7 hours that he hit 13 straight threes in a row during his drills?
It might have been more.
Was it more? Was it 16?
I can't. Yeah.
16 straight threes in a row. That is going to open some eyes because that was one of the knocks, is that he was not consistent enough with his perimeter shooting.
Yes. Yes.
That performance alone is going to get him more looks than going into the combine.
No doubt about it. I like the comparisons to Josh Giddey, but a better shooting Josh Giddey when it comes to NBA skill set.
Better hair as well.
No question. Okay, do me a favor very quickly.
Yes.
Again, I'm going to read the team he had the longest meetings with as of yesterday. Tell me where they pick, okay? You look at the NBA draft order. You tell me where these teams pick.
Okay.
Okay? Longest meetings for Yegor. Portland.
Okay, hang on. You got there too quick there.
No, it's all good. All good. I'm putting you on the spot.
Okay.
Portland. Okay. Houston is at number 10, right?
Houston is at 10, and Portland. Where is Portland?
Okay. While you look for that, I pull out Atlanta as well. Portland.
Portland is at 11. Okay. Atlanta's at 13.
Okay. Brooklyn's at 8. Yep. We talked about that. Miami.
Miami is at 20.
Okay, so that's the very, very bottom. I would be shocked if he
will not be there at
20. I believe that Miami would have to trade up to get Yegor.
Yes,
he will not be there at 20. And then San Antonio at 14.
Right.
So we are looking, for the numbers you just read to me, okay, and thank you for bearing with me, we're looking at, realistically, 8 to 14.
See, that's why I said right around 7, 8, 9, that's where, if he's not gone already, that's where things get real.
Oh, man, what if the Wizards take him at 6?
Maybe he can match Hoffa going 8.
Woo! Our question of the day. How high do you think Yegor Demon could realistically go in the NBA draft? And by high, we mean as in a better pick, okay? So I know it's confusing because if you're picked 1, isn't that considered a low number? But you get what I'm saying, okay? How beneficial will this pick be for Yegor Demon? At CJ Real Hoops 1 on X says, highest end, number 8 to Brooklyn. Lowest end, number 20 to Miami. Most likely, CJ says, number 13 to Atlanta. So essentially right in the middle of 8 to 20. At Jensa1CA on X says, I think Yegor's top end is to the Pelicans at number 7, New Orleans. 1 and 2 are set. The next tier is VJ Edgecombe, Ace Bailey, Trey Johnson, and Konkan Nipple. Yegor could fall into the top of the next tier with good workouts. He's had those good workouts.
Yes.
It's done. It's done. So would you be shocked if we come in after the NBA draft in late June and Yegor Demon is selected number 6 or number 7?
No. We had people talking about him being a top 5 pick for most of the time before he got to BYU. And within the first month of the season, he was looked at as a top 5 pick. So no, I would not be surprised at all.
Isn't that crazy? That's crazy. BYU hasn't had a draft pick in 14 years. Now it's feels like a lottery lock. Good for Yegor.
Absolutely.
Weigh in on X, Facebook, and Instagram. Okay.
All right. We've talked a lot of basketball. Let's shift gears to some college football.
Yep.
ESPN writers have BYU football ranked 5th on the list of 10 potential first-time college football playoff teams, and they've got them 8th on the list of potential first-round by college football playoff teams. That gives the Cougars great odds to win the Big 12.
Okay.
Are there multiple paths, in your opinion, for BYU to make the college football playoff, or do they have to win the Big 12 title in order to accomplish that?
Listen, the numbers we put out from Circa Sports would suggest that you got to win the Big 12 to get in the college football playoff. I mean, the way that they are projecting with the parity that they are anticipating with so many teams, it would suggest that the Big 12 champ gets in and probably no other Big 12 team. However, I differ in that opinion a little bit because of where BYU will start the season, Jason. They have a significant advantage this year compared to last year, and that is pole position. If BYU starts at number 17 or number 16 and they win their first four games, now you're a top 10 team going into October, and you're just recognized as, oh, they're a really good team.
Yes.
And so you get some benefit of the doubt from the voters. And like it or not, there's a human element to the College Football Playoff Selection Committee. They're humans. If you see BYU early on winning consistently and you're a top 10 team, then they could drop a game here or there and still be in position to get in as an at-large compared to last year where it was just like this euphoric rise. And
you
then
started so far behind that
then they lost two games late and they're like, see. And so as fast as they rose, they dropped. I don't think that'll be the case because of the pole position that they have.
Yeah, I look, and maybe I'm going to go into fan mode here, but I just worry anytime it's left up to the committee that they're going to give BYU the benefit of the doubt.
So you feel like Big 12 title?
I think let's just go win the Big 12 title and eliminate all chance.
What if they're 11-1 going into the Big 12 title game and lose?
You don't need to sell you and I. Apparently, we need to sell the college football committee.
They're 11-1 going into the Big 12 title game and lose. You're 11-2. Why couldn't BYU beat SMU last year? Like, good team all year?
You mean the team that BYU beat?
Indeed.
Hey, by the way, the Big 12 announced the Big 12 championship will be played on Saturday, December 6th at noon Eastern on ABC. So
you're blocking that off right now?
I'm sure I'll have to work.
You're going to manifest it? Manifest it in your schedule, Jason. I'm going to do it. I'm going to block that section of time out, just like Big 12 championship, because we're expecting to be there.
Let's do it.
Come on. Let's go.
Let's do it.
All right.
May have been the most awkward thing that's ever happened on this show.
No, not even close. Are you kidding me?
Would you like to say what was?
We won't get into that.
Okay. All right, BYU baseball will look to build off last night's win over Texas Tech and try to hold on to the last spot in the Big 12 tournament. Game 2 coverage begins tonight, 8 Eastern on BYU Radio and on ESPN+.
After the break, NBA draft analyst Matt Babcock joins the program to discuss the rise of Yegor Demin's draft stock during the NBA Combine in Chicago. Is he going to be a top 5 pick? It's BYU Sports Nation.
High five.
Name of the 2025 NBA draft, elite level pro athlete and knows how to score the basketball. AJ, who is a generational talent. I think you start with Richie Saunders, to be honest with you.
We are live in Studio B. This is your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I am Spencer Linton. He is Jason Shepherd. Happy Friday once again. Joining us now is NBA draft analyst Matt Babcock, who has had a close eye on Yegor Demin and every other top NBA prospect at the Combine in Chicago. Matt, welcome to BYU Sports Nation. How are you?
No, I'm doing great. Yeah, like you said, I've been here in Chicago all week, just wrapping things up, and it's been an exciting week. I mean, for the players, for the teams, and for people like myself. So, learned a lot about a lot of these guys.
I got a firsthand look at Yegor Demin's itinerary specifically, and wow, he's just one guy of a bunch of guys that have very busy schedules. What's it like for you to cover this event with guys like Yegor Demin and the flourishing NBA rookie community?
Yeah, no, it's great. I mean, these schedules are absolutely regimented, especially for the players. I mean, they're doing medical testing, interviews with teams, on-court drills. You know, some of the guys are playing 5-on-5. It's just every day it's sort of a never-ending process. And keep in mind, most of us are staying at the Marriott Marquis, which is connected to the arena. So it's a situation where as soon as we step off onto the elevator, I mean, it's go time. Everybody's interacting with each other. So it's just a very exciting time, but very, very busy for all of us.
Matt, before we get into his draft stock, speaking of Yegor, and obviously you and others talking about the fact that it is certainly moving up, What are your thoughts on Yegor's overall game and how he fits into the NBA?
You know, it's funny. I was at the home opener in Provo. And, you know, obviously that first few weeks, he just blew up and, you know, was getting hyped up as a, top five pick. And I was definitely a big part of that. And, you know, then he had the struggles. So his stock throughout the year has been somewhat of a roller coaster. And I think what's happened, you know, I went to his pro day yesterday and he was terrific. And, you know, I don't want to put too much stock into a one-on-one workout. It's not a, competitive setting. But I think the combination of, him finishing the season strong, these teams getting exposure to him, through workouts, and just seeing, he's added some weight. I mean, he looks like he's getting strong already. And his outside shooting, I mean, he's further along at this point than I think any of us thought he would be. So it's kind of like a culmination of all of it together. He's just, teams are feeling good about him. And I think what word is spreading that there's a lot of fans of his. So, not just one thing, just sort of all of it collectively.
Matt Babcock is an NBA draft analyst and insider. He's been at the Combine. Yegor told us a couple of weeks ago, Matt, that he would show up and show out specifically with his outside shot. So along with that, which you touched on, where do you feel like he impressed scouts the most in the drills? Granted, much of it not in a competitive setting.
Yeah, no, the outside shooting for sure. I mean, he shot the lights out. I mean, it was very impressive, and I'm very careful of not putting too much stock into these workouts. But it definitely helped him. I mean, there's no doubt about it. I mean, that has been one of his swing skills, if not the biggest swing skill. And so just to see him out there, you can tell he's been working on it, and it looked great. And I think, like I said, the basketball, the NBA community is very small. And so there's a lot of shared information, and I just think there's a lot of people, kind of seeing him glass half full rather than glass half empty.
Yegor is a guy that obviously was the point guard for BYU this past year and going into the draft, going in as a point guard. But you do hear some rumblings about maybe teams looking at him to move him off the ball. From your understanding, when teams are looking at Yegor, are they looking at him as a point guard right now?
You know, I think every team looks at things slightly differently. But personally, I see him more as a versatile, more of a point forward, sort of 3-2-1 kind of guy. You definitely want the ball in his hands because he's such an incredible playmaker. But, I mean, I think at his size, I mean, he measured really well. If I remember correctly, he measured 6'8 without shoes. So, I mean, for old traditional NBA standards, he's 6'9", and he's got a frame that's already started to develop. I think that's more of a point forward long term in my mind, and I would imagine most teams would see him that way as well.
Matt, now the question of questions that every BYU fan wants to know: what is the range that you anticipate Yegor will be selected in? Is he a lottery pick lock now to go in the top 14? What range do you have for him?
You know, I when I did my mock draft early in the week before the combine started, I put him at 12. And keep in mind, I've always been very high on Yegor. I think this week's helped him and just kind of gathering information of everybody else's impressions. I would bet on him being a lottery pick. You've got Utah drafting at 5. That would be an interesting, partnership. Obviously, they know him very well. But I mean, I think somewhere between 5 and, late lottery.
Look, while you were – I was going to ask you a question about the Jazz. Obviously, that's the local team. A lot of BYU fans interested in what the Jazz may do. And I don't – not specifically as it pertains to Yegor, but, another Big 12 player like Vijay Edgecombe could be in play for the Jazz at number 5. What do you expect BYU legend Danny Ainge and the Utah Jazz to do at number 5?
A lot of it's just, who's there, right? I mean, I think that it's an interesting spot to be in. I mean, I'm assuming they were bummed for dropping a little bit. But this is a good draft, especially at the top. And so a lot of it, who's going to be there? I mean, I currently have Trey Johnson from Texas, going to Utah, off-ball shooter scorer. He seems like he'd be a really good fit. And I think a lot of it when you're sort of in a, you know, developing part of your timeline with your core unit, you know, just figure out how much you value your guys long term. And you know, Isaiah Collier, I mean, it was really terrific towards the end of the season. So I would imagine they're you know, penciling him in as the starting point guard of the future. And so that might change, you know, how they look at things. You add another on ball guard. But you know, like I said, they're in a good spot. They'll get somebody good.
Matt Babcock, NBA draft analyst, is on with us on BYU Sports Nation. Now, I know from conversations with people who have boots on the ground at the Combine that Yegor has had long meetings with Portland, Houston, Atlanta, Brooklyn, Miami, and San Antonio. Which, maybe it's not one of those teams, but which team do you believe, or teams, are the best fit right now for a little bit of a developmental project like Yegor?
Not sure. I mean, I think him going, you know, going in that mid lottery range. I mean, I mentioned, you know, Utah at 5, Washington at 6, New Orleans at 7, Brooklyn at 8. I mean, if I'm Yegor and I'm his agent, I like that range a lot. Like that's the realistic goal, is getting somewhere in there. And they're all teams that are developing. So I mean, I think he would fit their timelines. And you know, I honestly would like any of those teams for him.
A.J. DeBonsa is going to start his first season at BYU just in a couple of months, and certainly BYU fans very excited about what they'll see on the court this year. If A.J. were in the draft this year, where would he be taken, do you think?
Yeah, I think he's in that first group. You know, I think, you know, top five pick, just to put it, you know, sort of conservatively. But very, very interesting kid. I actually just watched him for several days in Portland, the Nike Hoop Summit. And just, yeah, I mean, BYU fans should be excited. I mean, he's a big, explosive, versatile wing forward. Kind of does a little bit of everything. And, I mean, I think his upside is just through the roof.
Let's talk about one more BYU guy who kind of flew onto the radars of many NBA draft analysts and GMs and whatnot. It's Richie Saunders, first-team All-Big 12 player. Richie told us that he was hearing that he was somewhere in the mid-second round if he were to have left BYU this year. He obviously came back. So how do you assess a guy like that? Does he have a spot in the NBA, and is he a draft pick next year?
You know, it's funny. You know, I mentioned I was at that home opener, you know, this season, and you know, I was very aware of who Richie was. I didn't see him as a surefire NBA guy. I saw him, you know, as a tough off-ball, you know, more of a slasher, and he just shot the ball so well this year, which I think has sort of changed the narrative pretty dramatically, honestly. And I mean, I think he's played himself into becoming a legit NBA prospect. And if he were in this year's draft, I do think he would have been drafted. You know, but going back for another year, I think their team's going to be great, and he's going to be a guy that all NBA scouts will prioritize, you know, watching closely.
Matt, we appreciate the time. Know how busy you are. Before you go, we would be remiss if we don't ask this. Where can BYU fans find more of your content?
Yeah, social media, Matt Babcock 11. Our company's account is Babcock Hoops. And then our website, babcockhoops.com. We've got a ton of NBA draft coverage, comprehensive scout reports pretty much on everybody in the draft, a podcast, a bunch of content. So, yeah, check out our stuff, babcockhoops.com.
Great stuff. Matt, by the way, did you post your personal vertical and other numbers from the Combine? Is that available?
I did not, for good reason.
Hey, thanks for the time, Matt. Be well and travel safely.
Thanks, guys.
Matt Babcock, survivor of the NBA Draft Combine. No vertical numbers from him, Jason, but what's your vertical?
I don't know, but I'm going to take a wild guess and say that whatever the lowest recorded vert is, subtract an inch.
Somebody asked me that, like, at your peak, what was it? And I'm like, how many times did I actually measure my vertical? Probably in high school, and it was probably like 34 inches.
Okay, I've never been able to dunk a basketball on a 10-foot rim, but I have been able to at least grab the rim.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Rim grabber.
Oh, that was a long time ago. Long time.
Please don't try and grab the rim in the American
Center. There'd be hammies, ACLs, Achilles.
No, please don't.
My ego would also be hurt.
Great stuff. Hey, all joking aside, What a performance by Yegor Demin at the NBA Combine. And you're seeing the fruits of that with guys like Matt Babcock and Jonathan Givony.
I'm so happy that he is getting this kind of run. And it's not, it's because he's earned it. He's gone in, he's put in the work, and now he's being able to showcase it to everybody. What an awesome thing for him to be going through right now. And look, sky's the limit for him. I cannot wait to see where he goes.
To double down on what we were talking about earlier, it feels like the range has gone from 12 to 21, now up to, as Matt was saying, like the 6 to 14 area.
Yeah.
He said maybe even 5. Ooh, that might be pushing. But wow, I mean, the point is, his stock is clearly up.
Absolutely.
Great stuff. Hey, on the way, track and field had a big first day at the Big 12 Championships. We'll recap performances from that opening day, plus which former BYU football player signed a professional contract in the CFL. Cougs taking over the CFL. This is BYU Sports Nation.
Cougar Football League.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
This is BYU Sports Nation. We are live. He is Jason Shepherd. I am Spencer Linton. And these are your Friday headlines.
Yesterday, multiple reports came from the NBA Combine in Chicago that Yegor Demin's draft stock is improving, notably from ESPN's Jonathan Givony. Jonathan said, quote, big week for BYU guard Yegor Demin at the NBA Draft Combine. Came out bigger than expected at 6'9.5" in shoes and showed off his clean shooting stroke in drills. Getting strong looks from NBA teams throughout the lottery. And then from our previous guest, Matt Babcock, he put out on social media, word is circulating here in Chicago that BYU's Yegor Demin is on the rise. He measured well. And while I'm not usually a big fan of pro days, Demin looked great in his today. It feels like he might be peaking at the right time. In case you have forgotten or didn't know, the NBA draft will be held in Brooklyn June 25th and 26th.
Sticking with the NBA draft, here are where Yegor Demin is projected to land in the most recent mock drafts. Best is NBA DraftNet at 8 to Brooklyn. The lowest from The Athletic at number 18 to the Wizards, and a bevy of picks in between, including 10 to the Rockets, 12 to the Bulls, 14 to the Spurs, 15, 16, and 17 also in play.
ESPN College Football Writers made a list of teams most likely to make the college football playoff for the first time, and then as well teams most likely to get a first-round bye in the playoff. BYU was ranked at number 5 on the list of potential first-time playoff teams and number 8 on the list of potential first-round bye teams.
BYU football offensive tackle Braden Keim has signed a contract with the Winnipeg Blue Bombers of the Canadian Football League. Cougs in Canada! Keim was a 2024 All-Big 12 honorable mention, played in 36 games for BYU. He joins BYU teammate Mark Collins, who has also signed with the Blue Bombers as of April.
BYU baseball beat Texas Tech 13-4 in game one of the series last night at Miller Park. With the win last night and a loss from UCF, BYU moved into 12th place to make the Big 12 tournament. Now, BYU has basically, it's a situation of two. Two wins gets BYU in. Two UCF losses also gets BYU in. So one BYU loss, one BYU win, UCF loss. Any combination of two,
okay.
And BYU will be going to Arlington in the Big 12 tournament. The Cougars Red Raiders battling game two tonight, beginning at 8 Eastern, that is, on BYU Radio and on ESPN Plus.
Just beat Texas Tech.
Just go win the next two and you're done. You're in.
On day one of the Big 12 Track and Field Championships, BYU men's and women's team had 8 combined athletes on the podium. Notably, Creed Thompson finished in second in the men's 10K with a time of 29 minutes, 39 seconds, and 36 hundredths. Brinton Paulson took third in the men's javelin, throwing just over 67 meters. And Destiny Everett took fourth in the women's 10K at 33 minutes, 53 seconds, and 52 hundredths. Competition continues today and tomorrow.
Former BYU golfer Patrick Fishburne is competing at the PGA Championship at Quail Hollow Golf and Country Club in Charlotte, North Carolina. Fishburne finished round one at 6 over par. He tees off round two in just a few minutes as he looks to make a push towards the cut.
P. Fish, or the Ginger Quake, whatever you like. That dude is awesome. Still to come, Cole Ponich and Todd Miller of BYU Men's Golf. Speaking of the Lynx, join us in studio to recap their win at NCAA Regionals in Windy Reno, how they're preparing for Nationals. Stay with us. Here live in studio B, we've moved over to the Cougar Council Room to discuss championship golf. Alongside Jason Shepherd, I'm Spencer Linton. Joining us now are Todd Miller and Cole Ponich. Todd, of course, in the coaching role and Cole in the starring role. Congratulations. Ticket is punched.
We brought the ticket right here. Let's go.
How did that fit on the – did that go in the – what underneath the seat possibly? Or where did that go on the
fit in the
back?
Overhead bin?
I actually had to get back. My daughter was leaving the next day for the Mexico MTC, and so I had a really good friend that put me in a very small plane, and we threw this behind us right there.
You made it work.
So he got me home for my daughter the next day. Couple really emotional 20 hours right there. Team winning and then my daughter leaving the next day. I was a complete mess. My wife was a mess. But we're doing better now.
Cole,
stabilized.
Can you take this man and get him a cookie or a drink or something after? He's been through a lot.
Best thing we can bring him is a national champion.
Yeah.
There it is.
Yeah. Yes, yes.
I love it.
Well said. Okay, so for those of you who are not aware of what BYU did in Reno, like, they had to suspend play after 7 holes of day one because it was crazy. There's snow. The winds are out of control. So, Cole, how did you stay calm in those conditions when they did get better, but it was still kind of crazy on day two?
Yeah, I think our team's done a really good job of being mentally tough this year. We've worked a lot with Bobby, sports psychologist. And, yeah, we kind of knew the weather was going to be bad before we got there and just all talked amongst each other and just said, hey, let's let all the other teams complain about the weather and we're just going to focus on what we can control. And I think that's exactly what we did.
Knowing what the ultimate goal is, and I want to ask both of you from the different perspectives, what did winning regionals mean to you guys knowing what the goal is?
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of confidence going into national championship, and it's pretty cool for all the guys on the team this year to be part of some BYU history. I think that's the first regional that we've ever won, so mostly just taking the confidence going into next week, and yeah, we're excited.
What about from your perspective, Todd?
I mean, as a coach, all you're trying to do with your players day in and day out is build confidence.
Yeah.
Got the confidence. We know that they can all play. Like, you recruit the best players, you bring them in, you're trying to build confidence. And so doing something like that, beating the number 4th ranked team in the country, Texas, I mean, we don't get a chance to beat them very often. Mm. And so this is just huge. These guys are saying in their mind, we can do this. Like, and that's what you want as a coach. You want every one of your guys standing over on the tee box in their pre-shot routine saying, I can do this.
Todd, you're a guy who I look at, and it feels to me that you're never fazed by anything. Like, I want to be that in my life, okay? But what are your nerves like when you get into the later holes and you're like, We might actually win this regional, not just finish in the top 5, because if you finish in the top 5, you go to the championships, but we might win this thing. How are your nerves in those moments?
You know, I didn't really have any nerves. That was the great thing is, like, Matt Thurman, who's the coach at Arizona State that played at BYU, and I roomed with him, he goes, there's not many regional championships that you walk the last 9 and just have a nice walk, you know? You're just feeling it the whole time. Every shot, every player, you're feeling the nerves, and he goes, when you get that chance to just walk the last 9, enjoy the walk with your players and just love it. And we really got to walk that last 9 and just enjoy the birdies that were being made. I mean, I walked with Cole almost every hole that championship, and he was just rock solid. So for me, like, I wasn't seeing a lot of some of the other stuff that was going on. He was just almost every fairway, every green. Even when he hit a bad shot, he was back in play in the right spot. And so as a coach, that's just, it's a beautiful thing.
Mm. You know, Cole, and you both mentioned the word confidence, and maybe that's the answer, but this team tends to play its best golf when it matters most. So how do you guys continually rise to the occasion time and time again? Where does that come from?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I think a lot of us, I mean, between the 5 of us, I think we just have a lot of grit on this team, and it seems like when the pressure's up and things, like you said, matter the most, it seems like all 5 of us kind of rise to the occasion, and that's a cool identity to have as a team, and I think that's going to be a big advantage for us going into the national championship.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm always amazed at a golfer's ability to recap a specific shot when you take so many shots over a 3-day event. But I'm going to put you on the spot here, Cole. Of all the great shots you hit, what was your favorite, and what was that sequence like mentally and then executing the shot?
Probably hole 5 the last day. I hit it. There's a tree, like, in the middle of the fairway, and I hit it direct. Like, that was my target line, and I actually hit it just right at it.
So is this the Sergio slice?
Yeah.
Yes.
And I was kind of, like, So, I don't know, I might have to chip this out. And he was just hardcore pushing, like, oh, you got this all day. So I ended up hitting like a big 40-yard slice around the tree where like anything left was all OB. And that for me just like felt like the pressure was kind of amped up, because if I didn't slice it, it felt like things could maybe go a little sideways. But ended up hitting a perfect shot, making birdie there, and that's kind of when the momentum started going.
That's what we call being in the zone.
So Todd, one of the things this week, obviously, there's been a lot going on around BYU athletics recently, including a new athletic director. And Brian Santiago, when he was introduced the other day, one of the things that he talked about a couple of times was the importance for BYU athletics to play its best at the highest levels. From a golf standpoint, you guys are certainly doing your part. How does that resonate with you when you hear that from Brian?
You know, I've been hearing that for 15 years from Brian. We need to be relevant. BYU athletics needs to be relevant. And you know, for Bruce, Carl Tucker for over 30 years, Bruce for over 30 years, we've always been relevant in golf. And Carrie's doing a fantastic job with our women's team winning conference championships. And so that's where we want to be. And like you guys are saying, these guys rise to the occasion. I mean, we have a lot of experience on this team. I mean, this guy's a junior Ryder Cupper. You don't have a lot of those that play for you. He could have gone any team in the country, could have gone to any program. And for him to come and trust us, we just have a lot of experience at big moments on this team. And so it's great to have that as a coach, you know, and just have a couple leaders on your team that have, you know, they felt the big moments. They've had the camera on them when it matters.
Todd, how much do you enjoy beating Brian in golf?
You know, I think that is more between Brian and my son. It's Brian and Nick. Every time Nick shows at the golf course and Brian's there at Riverside, it's like, let's go right now. And so they have little matches. I don't play against Brian much, but Danny and my son and Brian, they have some pretty good matches. So it's fun for my kid just to see him out there. And that's one of the things I love about Brian. Passion. You love to be around people that are passionate about what they do.
Yes.
And that's what he wants with all of his coaches, that they're all in, they're passionate about winning and being great. And that's what I love being about Ryan Brown, Brian Santiago, for that specific reason.
Cole, let's finish with this. Speaking of the team dynamic and culture, why do you feel like this group is poised to do something magical at the national championship?
I think it's the first time in a while that all five guys in our lineup are very capable of going out and shooting 64, and we all have a lot of experience on those big, tough golf courses. And I think each guy has a lot of confidence in their own game and amongst each other. Like, this seems like a different group as far as being able to trust each other, not worrying about what the other guy's doing, because you know they're gonna go out and give it everything they have. And I think that's the best dynamic we have on this team, since probably the best team I've been on since I've been at BYU.
Wow, that's saying something, because you played on some great teams.
Yeah.
Well, for those of you who have not already followed the account, Todd, these people need to follow Todd Miller on Instagram and the BYU Golf Cap, because he's like the best live reporter ever. Okay, how do they get involved, Todd? How do the fans get involved and follow you
Todd
on social
B. Miller
media? Yeah,
Miller,
it's going to see an uptick in followers now.
Yeah,
follow the man. So fun. You'll be reporting essentially from the national championship. But kidding aside, we're so thrilled. Like, it's very exciting to watch what BYU Golf is doing on the women and women's side and men's side. So. Congratulations.
I got to go to some more baseball games. I show up, they hit two dingers, a couple triples. Like, I was like, man, this is every game. So I'll show up on a day other than a Thursday, like you said.
Yeah, we need tonight, tomorrow, if we can get you there, that'd be great.
It's been a full 2 days for you. Yeah. Yes, speaking of emotions, okay?
And Simon Kwan and Owen, I've got two nephews playing at BYU right now. So go Cougars.
There we go. Cool. Always
awesome.
Go Cougs.
And congratulations to your daughter leaving for your mission.
Thank you.
Okay.
All right, if you miss any interview shows or Deep Blues, you can find them on BYUSN.com or download the BYU TV app to get all the BYU Sports Nation content on demand.
All right, how high do you think Yegor Demin could realistically go in the NBA draft? More responses to our question of the day after the break. This is BYUSN.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
All right, our question of the day. How high do you think Yegor Demid could realistically go in the NBA draft?
We're thinking like 7-14, right, Shep?
I'm honestly, I think that's 7, 8, 9. I think if he's not gone by 7 or 8, I think that's the prime number.
Okay.
Right around there.
Our elite voice today, presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated, comes in from at CougarlCosmo30 on X, who says, I believe Yegor could realistically show up between picks 10 and 15 because of his dominant performance at the NBA Combine and his ability to develop as a player. 10 to 15. I think he'd be even better than that.
I think he'll be higher than that. As of right now, I think he's higher than that.
8 to Brooklyn. Wouldn't it be something if he went 10 like Jimmer? Okay. I mean, granted, it'd be Houston, but number 10, that'd be something.
That wouldn't be too bad.
Today's Rise and Shout-Out presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
How about we give it to Kevin Young? Look, Kevin, the other day he was here at the press conference, flies to Chicago to hang out with Yegor. I love the relationship they have.
Boots on the ground.
That's KY right.
KY and company watching Yegor. Our thanks to today's guests, Matt Babcock, Cole Ponich, and Todd Miller.
All right, all our shows on demand, BYUSN.com.
For Jason, I'm Spencer. Shout out to Bruce Brockbank. Have a great weekend. Go Cougs!